As we begin today, we're going to begin with the character Enoch. Enoch. And I invite you to turn in your Bible to begin with to Genesis chapter 5. We're going to look at all of the passages that deal with this character Enoch. There are only three in all of the scripture. But because of his life, he becomes a key character for us to know. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Or Genesis chapter 5, I'm sorry, verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. By the way, Methuselah was the person in the Bible recorded to have lived the longest, 969 years. The year that Enoch was translated, or the year that Methuselah died, was the year that the flood began. And there's some significance in that whole imagery as well. But after he had fathered Methuselah, Enoch walked with God, and he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters, and thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now I want you to turn over, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, in the back part of the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, to the next passage that deals with the man Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, and it says here, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And finally, if you'll turn over to the next to the last book in the New Testament, the book of Jude, little one chapter book, the book of Jude, verse 14. The book of Jude, verse 14, says, it was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Three things that we can learn from Enoch here very quickly. Enoch was a man who did not live a long time on this life in relation to his peers. Many of them were living 900 years plus, and yet he was only here for 300 years, and then God took him 365 years. He had a strong impact in 300 years. Secondly, we learned that he was a man who walked with God. And thirdly, we learned that there was much more about Enoch that we do not have recorded in the scriptures. Because Jude here quotes Enoch in one form or another because of his prophecy. Enoch reminds me of a man about whom Charles Spurgeon wrote. He said, I buried yesterday one of the excellent of the earth who loved and feared and served his God far better than most of us. He was an eminently devout brother, and one of his last wishes of his heart he had committed to writing in a letter to a friend when he little thought of dying. It was this: I have longed to realize the life of Enoch and to walk with God. He did but write what you and I also feel. What do we find from the life of Enoch? Key characters of the Bible each have something we can learn. First of all, I would say to you that Enoch gave us a great example of communion with God. What does it mean to walk with God? This morning, I want to take some time to just explore that whole concept, because I think it's something that is really lost in today's culture. The concept of just enjoying and walking and fellowshipping with the God of the universe. Paul helps us to understand this observation when he talks about it in the book of Hebrews. Remember what he says. He says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The author of the book of Hebrews interpreted this whole concept of walking with God to mean that walking with God is something that takes pleasure in who God is, and God takes pleasure in you. It's a very intimate type of a relationship. And somehow we need to grasp this and wrap our arms around this and understand this in a very significant way. This did not mean that Enoch was without sin. It didn't mean that Enoch in his walk and his life never had occasion to fall from grace or to forget where he had come from. Just like us, he was born with a sinful nature. He was a seventh in the line from Adam, which means that he was born after Adam had committed his federal sin, that headship sin that was an act of rebellion against God. Everyone born after that was born into sin and has a sinful nature from the beginning. Just like us, Enoch needed an appropriation of grace. Just like us, Enoch needed to come to grips with the fact that by faith, through grace, is the only way to come to God. It is only by faith through which we can please Him, through which we can honor Him, through which we can enjoy Him. It is not intellect. It is not good arguments. It's not even the Scripture alone. It is an intimacy with God through the Scripture through which we can enjoy God and we can come into relationship with Him and we can begin to understand who He is. Enoch was a man who loved God and understood who God was and was pardoned because of his relationship with Him. Therefore, he had communion with Him. Some of my best times of fellowship with my children growing up were times when they had transgressed in our home and we had disciplined them and then later had the opportunity to show them that they were forgiven. And in that forgiveness came close relationship and fellowship and communion. Because it was in that forgiveness that we began to realize, or they began to realize, that forgiveness and that true love, that agape-type love, is unconditional. That nothing is going to take my son or my daughter and somehow extricate them from my family. They will always be my son and my daughter. Nothing is going to ever put them in such a heinous position that I would not love them. But there are times when my relationship with them would be broken because of what they did, and that needed to be rectified. Enoch was in that kind of a situation. Because of his relationship with God, he walked in such a way that he did not break that relationship for anything if he could help it. Secondly, we find out that Enoch shows us how to walk with God. What does it mean to truly walk with Him? Enoch shows us how to walk with God. He realized God's divine presence. You need to stop and think about that. Enoch, in walking with God, began to realize that God's divine presence was there and his. Why do we sing songs at the beginning of a service? Why do we pray? Why do we read Scripture? Why do we do the things that we do in a corporate setting? Because they are designed to bring us into the presence of a holy God. And they're designed to give us a sense of I'm now in His presence. I'm now approaching Him. I am now fellowshipping with Him. I am now coming into grips with who He is. Enoch was someone who realized the very presence of God, and that gives us an example as to how we can walk with God ourselves. You cannot walk with someone that you don't acknowledge their existence. The amazing thing to me are people that I meet with and I talk to and that I have a relationship with, and they talk about coming into the presence of God, or they talk about being a believer, but they've never, ever experienced who God is. There is much about the Christian walk that should be centered around our understanding, should be centered around knowing what the Scripture has to say and believing what the Scripture has to say and recognizing that the Scripture is true. But there is far more about the Christian walk that is centered around the experience of knowing God. This isn't some emotional, outlandish expression. Knowing God is no different than knowing your spouse or knowing your best friend or knowing a relationship that you are very close to, a brother or a sister or a mother or a father. And you don't sit down and intellectually analyze everything about those people in order to get to know them. You spend time with them. And what we have here is a picture of a man who walks side by side with God for 3+ centuries. Stop and think about it. 40 years I've been a believer. For some, that seems like a long time. For others, that seems like just a drop in the bucket. But for 40 years, I've known Jesus Christ. Enoch knew Jesus, or knew God, walked with God, had a relationship with God for 300+ years. The intimation of the Scripture seems to be that for most of his life, he just had this relationship where he just kind of walked and talked and spent time with God. That's not something that you do intellectually. It's something that you do relationally. If you really want to know who God is, you have to come to grips with the fact that he's going to want to get to know you, and you need to get to know him. There's something about relationship that is beyond intellect in this. For 27 years now, come June, my wife and I will have been married. Certain things happen in 27 years of marriage. Those of you who have been married that long understand what I'm talking about. Those of you who have been married longer can tell me more. But there's something that happens in that amount of time. You start to think like the other person thinks. And if you don't think like the other person thinks, you at least know what they're thinking. You at least have an idea what's going to be going on in their head, so that when you start to talk to them about something, you know that you are picking out a volatile subject or something that's dear to their heart or something that is exciting to them or whatever it happens to be, because in 27 years, you understand who each other is. And if you don't after 27 years, you got a problem. Can you imagine 300 years of walking side by side with God? And you're just walking down the path and you're communing with him and you're just talking to him. There was no written revelation at that point, but I can imagine Enoch just carrying on conversations with God and God impressing upon his heart, either through some kind of audible word or through some kind of a heart condition where he would just know this is what God wants. It's not a peace. It's not this ethereal peace out there that kind of holds us, you know, to some kind of a direction. It's a knowledge that this is who God is, and therefore he will want me to respond in this way. Frankly, I get scared when somebody says, I'm going to do this and I have a real peace about it. Because oftentimes when they tell me that, what they've done is they've decided that they want to do it, and now they've tried to justify their actions by having a peace about it rather than doing what the Scripture has to say in their life. There are many times in which we make decisions that are based wholly on our feelings rather than on our relationship with a living God. Enoch was one who walked with God. He was one who understood that relationship in a significant way. He realized the presence of God. He saw it. He felt it. He related to it. He interacted with it. And it doesn't matter whether you're a strong believer or a weak believer, you all begin in the same place. It begins with the introduction. It begins with just getting to know Him. You know how it works. You go out for lunch with somebody and you sit down and talk to him, you find out a lot about him. You go work beside them, you find out a lot about them. You go on some kind of an event with them and you find out a lot about them. And the more time that you spend with them, the more that you find out about them. Unless you're spending all your time letting them know about you. Then they find out about you, but you don't really find out about them. Now stop and think about that. The average Christian spends more time in their prayers telling God about them and what they need and what they want and what they desire than they do spending time listening to what God wants. That's not relationship. That's a fairy godmother. What we need to do is we need to put ourselves in such a relationship with God that we're saying, I'm going to just stop and listen to you for a while, God. I'm going to read what your word has to say. I'm going to pray. I'm going to listen. But I'm not going to bring a lot of petitions to you yet. I just want to get to know you. I'll sing songs. I'll listen to music. I'll read poetry that is about you. I'll walk in nature and I'll get a picture of the creation that you made. But whatever I have to do, I want to get to know you, God, and I want to come in relationship with you. And frankly, it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 40 years or if you've been a Christian for 4 months. You can still do this. I had a lady ask me just today, when do you ever get to the point where when you say this, you know, when you have some piece of scripture that you want to say, you know where it is and you're able to say what it is? And I said, you know, the issue there isn't that you can't or can do that. The issue is that you are growing towards that. The example of her life is that she is constantly growing and moving in that direction. I've had 40 years to learn what she has to start learning now. And we can get real arrogant about what we know. But the truth of the matter is, it's who we know that changes us and makes a difference. There are many people sitting in this congregation today who 5 years ago knew about God, but today they know God. And it's that knowledge that has made a difference, that has changed them. God desires us to walk with Him. There's something else about Enoch's walk that was significant as well, and that is that Enoch's walk was continuous. He walked continually with God. He had a relationship with Him. I kind of think of people that walk with God oftentimes as being a lot like a lot of marriages. They get married because they like each other, they love each other, they get to know each other, they think that this is a person I'd like to spend the rest of my life with, and then they start having babies. And then in some situations, their life gets all focused around the babies and the children, and they spend their whole day doing for the kids. And after 18, 20, 22, 40, 50 years, the kids move out. I haven't found that point yet, but we're working on it. And you sit down at breakfast the next day, and you're looking at each other, and you're looking at two total strangers. Because you started out in an intimate relationship, but somehow it got separated by circumstances in life. And you just don't know that person anymore. And there are people like that that have allowed that to happen with their relationship with God. It wasn't continuous. It didn't continue on from day one. They went into this relationship and, oh man, it was so sweet. He saved me from a life of rebellion and sin. I was in a slave market and I was sold out to Satan, but now I can live for him because I'm free. Free to make myself a slave to the Savior of the universe. But then we start getting busy with our life, and we spend less time in the Word, and we spend less time in prayer. We spend less time relating to those people that are helping us to grow, and we spend less time in accountability, and we spend less time, and we start thinking about all of these other things that are getting in the way, and we lose the relationship. We lose the intimacy. We lose the contact. And our life with Him and our walk with Him has lost its continuity. And we lose. Because we're no longer in relationship with Him. Scripture seems to imply that at least for the majority of his time, Enoch walked intimately and continuously with his God. When you do that for 3 centuries, it changes you. But not only did he give us an example of how to walk with God, and not only was his walk continuous, Enoch's walk with God was progressive. Turn to Psalm 1. Enoch's walk with God was progressive. If a man walks with God for 2 or 3 centuries, I mean in relationship with him, not just talking about him with others, but in close relationship where he knows God. If a woman is in intimate relationship with God for 2 or 3 centuries, he's not the same man that he was when he started. He is not the kind of a person that he began. I mean, you remember what it was like if you're a believer for a while and you were a new believer at one point. You can remember that you didn't know much, but you really were excited about this new relationship with God. But a continuous, intimate walk with God must be progressive. Notice what Psalm 1 says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits at the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Notice that? That's a guy who walks intimately, continuously, and progressively with God. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. What is a tree that's planted by streams of water like? It is a growing organism. It's constantly moving, it's constantly growing, it's constantly reaching for the sky. How do you know when a tree is dead? It stops growing. It quits bearing leaves. It quits bearing fruit. It quits growing taller and taller. A few years ago, we built a pond in my backyard. It's a small little thing. It's got a 28-foot stream with a 3-foot waterfall into a 2,300-gallon pond. And when we finished that pond, what we did was we turned around and we decided we needed to landscape, and we bought 125 plants, shrubs, and trees. The only major casualty in that whole thing was a blue spruce that I planted in the backyard. I planted 2 blue spruces right next to each other and then 3 other evergreens right behind it. And when I planted them all, they were all about 6 foot tall, right at that range. And about a year and a half into this, I noticed that the 1 blue spruce just wasn't quite making it. The other tree had started to grow and grow. The trees behind it had really started to blossom and grow. And this one was just staying the same. You know what I noticed? That tree was dead. You know what else I noticed? That tree is just like a lot of believers, because they're planted in the same soil. They're planted beside other growing people. They're planted with all varieties of things around them, but they never bear fruit. They never grow. They just wither away and lose their leaves. An intimate walk with God is progressive. It never stops growing. You never stop growing. Here's a few observations about that progressive, perpetual walk. A result of that walk would have to be a holy life. If you're walking with God, it results in one very special thing, and that is that your life is changed from ungodliness to holiness. If you're never convicted about the stuff that you used to do or that you now do, and you continue to want to do it, then maybe your walk with God isn't what it should be. If we walk with God, we must walk according to the truth and justice and love. The Lord will not associate with the unjust and the rebellious. Therefore, we know that one who walks with God must be upright and he must be holy. He has to live a different kind of a life. He has to constantly be challenged by the Word of God. There has to constantly be an issue in his life in which he's changing because of what Scripture says. I have to think that Enoch's walk must have been a happy walk. I used to wake up in the morning and I'd go to my grandmother, who generally was a very happy lady. And I'd say, "How are you today, Grandma?" And she'd go, "I guess I'm going to live." Now, you can take that one of two ways, and it's all in the inflection of the voice. You know, "I'm going to live," or "I'm going to live." But most of the time it was meant, "I'm going to live. Got another day of drudgery, heartache, of frustration, walking with Jesus Christ." In relationship with Jesus Christ should be one of the happiest things that we ever do. It should be one of those things that just draw us constantly into intimate fellowship with the Savior. But it's not just a happy walk. It's a safe walk. Psalm 91:1 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." When you walk and you abide in the shelter of the Almighty, nothing is there that can harm you, that can touch you. They can take your body, but you're never going to give up. Your body can be burned in the flames, it can be riddled with bullets, it can be whipped to death, but you are still safe in Jesus Christ because we don't live in this world. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. But it's not only that it is safe and that it is happy and that it is honorable and holy. A true walk with God is a walk that must be honorable. That we accomplish the opportunity of walking with the God of the universe. Can you imagine what it would be like to walk with the President of the United States as a friend? Or with a king or a queen or somebody of royalty? As a friend. You know, just you get up in the morning, you say, "Hey, I'm going to go down to W's office and go for a walk with him." You know, like he's a friend. That's walking with God. Can you imagine what it would be like when you walk with the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Holy One of Israel, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, the one who provides for all, the healer, the lover of our soul. And we're walking with him like a friend. We just enjoy his presence like a friend. Well, walking with God requires something. And there's a faith lesson in all of this. The fact that Enoch walked with God is a powerful epitaph for any life. I used to like to read old cemeteries, some of the epitaphs that they would write about people. You know, and can you imagine some of these? The epitaph for Diotrephes: "He loved to be first." The epitaph for Demas: "He forsook everything." The epitaph for Enoch: "He walked with God." Where do you want to be at the end of your life? Do you want to be in a relationship in which you are walking with a holy God? Enoch's departure was a testimony. It says what we have nothing written about what he said about God. It says he was not because God took him. he had such a relationship with God that one day he was walking with God, and Enoch said, "Well, Lord, maybe it's time for me to go home." And God said, "Why don't you just come to my place?" I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But the older that I get, the more sweet, the more pleasant, the more encouraging the thought of heaven is. When you walk with God, you just want to be with Him. Now, how do you do this? How do you go about walking with God? Well, first of all, I encourage you to read a portion of Scripture every day out of the Psalms and the Proverbs. I really think that that's one of the best ways to spend time with God. Boy, some of the Psalms have just been nailing my hide to the wall lately. I have just been enjoying them so much because they've just been gripping my heart and turning me inside out. Not about any big things, just about Him, God, getting to know Him. Another thing that I encourage you to do is commit to reading through the Bible this next year. Read through what the Scriptures have to say. Now, some people have a hard time doing this. I'm going to give you a tool today that I'm going to tell you about. I'm not giving it to you because my wife owns it. And if I give it away, I'm in trouble. But it's called the One-Year Bible. Now, I like the English Standard Version. I like the translation. I think it's accurate. I think it's readable. And so that's what I use to preach out of. This is in the English Standard Version. I don't know if it's in any others or not. But it's arranged in 365 daily readings. There is an Old Testament, a New Testament, and a Psalm in every one of these readings. So you can sit down with day one, and you can start reading on January 1, or if you want, at January 8th or 9th, or February 8th or 9th, whenever you get it. And then you can read through the whole Bible in a year just by reading that day's reading. And you get an accurate version of the Bible that you're reading out of. And may I say that there's benefit in doing that because it changes you. Don't sit down with a study Bible and do that because you have a tendency to start reading the notes. You have a tendency to start thinking, now, what does this mean? What does that mean? When you read with things that have little notes in them and things, you can get sidetracked really easy. This is just the Scripture. And it takes you right through it. And by the end of the year, guess what? You will have read the Scriptures through. For some of you, it will have been a first-time event. And I guarantee if you do it, it will be a life-changing event. It changes who you are. Another thing that you can do is you can begin to pray. I encourage you to pray in the ACTS strategy. That is adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Spend time worshiping and enjoying God. And then take time to confess any known sins to Him. And then spend some time in thanksgiving for His forgiveness of those sins. And then bring your supplication to Him. You'll find that your prayer life is enriched when you do that kind of a thing. And another thing about prayer that I really encourage, and that is keep a list. And by the way, use the directory. By now, you could have been through the directory 1.5 times if you took it the first Sunday that we talked about it and prayed through it. You could have been through it 1.5 or 2 times if you just pray through 8 names a week, 8 families a week. And praying through that directory helps you to have a list of things. It also says to you, I got to get to know this person. I want to find out who this person is. I'm praying for them. I need to know them. Coming into relationship with God takes effort. It takes responsibility. It takes work. Every relationship does. I don't know where you are. I don't know what your relationship is like. I don't know what your relationships in life are like. But if relationship for you is just skating from one person to the next because you just don't want to be intimate or you don't want to be honest or you can't spend the time with that person, then you don't understand what relationship with God is either. If you've ever had to work for a relationship, then you understand what it's like to have a relationship with each other and with God. It takes time. He's always there. Where are you? Enoch walked with God. And he gave us a great example to follow of intimacy, of relationship, of holiness. Something that can change who we are. And if you truly want to grow in Jesus Christ, you have to grow in relationship. That means giving up anything that you ought not to have in your life. And that means adding to your life things that ought to be there, like Bible study, prayer, just reading the scripture, and working your way through to a full and happy relationship with God.